What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. We have tons of tools to get you ready to smoke your buffoon league mates in our redraft rankings manifesto. Whether you're looking for our consensus tiered-based rankings, top 200s, and by position, fantasy football news blurbs to keep you informed and find this year's Puka Nacua, risk ratings so you know how risky the draft picks you're spending are, the truth series so you can see how their 2023 season went, or you can compare our rankings to Sleeper, to ESPN, to Underdog, to Yahoo, to NFL, whichever platform you're drafting on, we have you covered this year with our Redraft Rankings Manifesto. Right now, you can get our draft guide for free by signing up on Underdog Fantasy using just $10 and using code FSE. If you already have an Underdog account or you can't play where you live, you can also head to flockfantasy.com. Use the code FSE for a 7-day free trial, 30% off any of the packages, and all of that is linked in the description of all of our videos if you need the links for that. All right, let's roll the pod. The next league-winning wide receiver is what we are aiming to find in this video series. Last year, CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown, all highlighted in this video. Hopefully, we can find some guys that perform similarly this year. Hitting on one of these dudes, 20-plus point-per-game scores in PPR leagues, gives you such a safe baseline every single week. You know in your fantasy matchup, your wide receiver one is going to take care of business. This is the fourth year of me doing this series, but if you are new around here, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button if you enjoy at any point, and comment down below, who do you think will be this year's league-winning wide receiver, this year's Puka Nacua, this year's CeeDee Lamb? Comment that down below. Now let's get into it. All right, so if you are new to the channel, what we're doing is creating the anatomy of a 20-plus point-per-game wide receiver in PPR leagues, looking at how they got there, right? What kind of volume factors did it take them to get there? How many targets per game did they have? How many receptions per game did they have? How many touchdowns per game did they have? Then we also look at situational factors. How good of an offense were they in? How good was their quarterback? How much pass volume was in their offense? Things of that nature. History is our best indicator of future breakouts. And at wide receiver, it's not necessarily 100% the case that every wide receiver needs to have this kind of upside for me to actually want to draft them. Unlike running back who get injured a lot more, I'm actually willing to take, you know, safer projections at wide receiver who don't quite have this kind of ceiling, but it definitely does help when you do have this kind of ceiling. So volume and pass fantasy production, the most predictive statistics you can find for the fantasy wide receiver position. We can talk about PFF receiving grades and yards per route run all we want, but the bottom line is volume and pass fantasy production is our best indicator of which guys have this in store for them in the future. We are going to take the volume averages of past league winners from 2013 to 2023 who finished with at least 20 PPR points per game on at least 12 games played or more. There has been 33 of them over that 11-year sample, including Tyreek Hill last year, CeeDee Lamb last year, Keenan Allen last year, and Amon-Ra St. Brown last year. So there was four of them last year. Big year for wide receivers. The first table indicates how much volume it took each of these guys to achieve that league-winning season on a per-game basis. Green equals they exceeded the averages that they needed to exceed. Yellow, they met the averages. And then red fell below those averages. This is what we're looking for when we draft a wide receiver early. We want 2021 Cooper Kupp. We want 2013 Megatron. We want 2015 Antonio Brown, 2020 Devontae Adams, or 2023 CeeDee Lamb. The averages, as you guys can see them on the screen, was about 11 targets per game, just under 11 targets per game, 7 receptions per game, and 0.75-ish touchdowns per game. Paced out to a full 17-game season, we're talking about 182 targets, 120 receptions, give or take, and 12.5, 13 touchdowns, give or take as well. So I also wanted to test situational factors because situation does factor in. I mean, you don't need to just be a volume king to get there in fantasy football. At wide receiver, one of the biggest markers of your situation is how good of a wide receiver you are. Talent and ability is king at wide receiver because on any given dropback, if you have the ability to beat your man one-on-one, the quarterback is typically going to find you the ball more often than not if you have a decent quarterback. But all of that stuff factors in as well. How good is your offensive line? How good is the quarterback that's throwing to you? How much pass volume does your team have? And also, how much target competition do you have? Because Brandon Ayuk on the 49ers has a lot harder time earning targets than Garrett Wilson on the New York Jets, where he's basically the only act in town. And Ryan Heath tweeted out this predictive stats of the wide receiver position, and you guys can see a lot of the stats that are very predictive are things like fantasy production, receiving yards per game, targets, yards, catchable targets, things of that nature. But we do also have some things that factored in, like first downs and yards per route run and targets per route run and air yards and things of that nature. Things that they are somewhat predictive, but they're not the be-all, end-all for these players. So basically using the volume stuff and the situational stuff, we're going to throw all these guys into this big concoction of which wide receivers have this kind of upside. The formula is pretty straightforward with these guys. Wide receivers who are talented command volume regardless of who their target competition is. And if the volume comes from a great quarterback in a great offense, in a pass-heavy offense, then all the better, basically. So the situational factors, as you can see, for those 33 wide receivers are laid out in front of you. That is how they all perform situationally. I'm not going to go over every single guy. You guys can see that on the screen. And then the averages, basically, this is the benchmark that we're looking for, is on average, they were in a top 10 offense in points per game. On average, they had a top 11 quarterback in PFF passing grade. They had about 600 pass attempts on the season, which would be about a top 12, top 10 rate overall passing. 103 was the average second target on their offense. So target competition wise, the next best targeted option on their offense on average was about 100 targets on the season. A top 10 offensive line via PFF pass blocking grade was also something that was nice to have. Yards per route run inside the top 5 wide receivers in the NFL that year. So you need to be talented enough basically to be this efficient. Yards per route run, first downs per route run, I also looked at. You needed to be really good to be highly ranking in those stats. They don't just have random slappies that are no good at football that rank highly in those statistics. And then also included in this is highest percentage achieved in reception perception. So either versus man coverage or zone coverage, you had to beat reception perception, have a 91st percentile success rate on average or better to be able to basically be considered one of these elite league winning wide receivers. And again, some of these guys fell below that mark, but for the most part, you had to at least crack like 75th, 80th percentile against either man or zone coverage there. So very few, if any, wide receivers are going to check every single box, but the more boxes a player can check, the better projections they are, and the more reason we would want to have to draft them and think that they're a really good option in fantasy. So now that we have the roadmap, we're going to take this anatomy that we've kind of outlined and constructed and determine which wide receivers in 2024 have elite upside this year. Before we do this, remember that if a wide receiver misses like so many marks, like they're not a good enough player, they don't play in a very good offense, they have a lot of target competition, they're probably not a very good pick. So if they have a lot of red on their chart, they're probably not a very good pick where they're going, and vice versa. If there's a wide receiver that hits a lot of these boxes, they're probably a value as well. And one thing to keep in mind too is that sometimes players are going to miss these marks just because simply they don't have the upside to be a league winner, but it doesn't totally necessarily make them a bad pick. They could just be a guy like Christian Kirk, for example. He's not going to be a league winner, but he has a chance to be a very productive option. He's just not going to hit the marks for volume and things of that nature because he's just not really good enough of a player to hit those marks. But that's okay. At wide receiver, they don't get injured very often, so we can still take players like that at a good value there, depending on your team construction to that point. So let's go through the wide receivers in ADP. We're going to go through 45 wide receivers. I'm going to try and really keep this brief for each one of these guys because the process and the overall strategy is more important than like the micro player takes. Wide receivers 1 through 9 in underdog ADP are on the screen. You can see a lot of green and yellow on this because these guys are all pretty nails. There is very few concerns with a lot of these players. CeeDee Lamb really doesn't have any concern. He is a great talent. He has a great offense, a great offensive line, a great quarterback. He has no injury concerns. He has really nothing to be afraid of. CeeDee Lamb, in my opinion, is the 101 in fantasy drafts. Not much else to say about it. Tyreek Hill, just Jalen Waddle and slight age concerns is all you have to be worried about because he is a superstar talent in a great offense, pass-heavy offense, good quarterback, all that kind of stuff. Ja'Marr Chase, he has the offensive line concerns in Cincinnati and the fact that T. Higgins is a good wide receiver, but other than that, he is very nails as well. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta, and Jameson Williams are slight concerns, but that's pretty much it, hence why he is my wide receiver 3 in fantasy drafts this year. A.J. Brown and Puka have a talented number 2 behind them, Cooper Kupp, Devontae Smith, both very good wide receivers, but other than that, they're pretty nails. They have good quarterbacks, good offenses, all that kind of stuff. I do want to draw your attention to Justin Jefferson, who has more concerns than the other elite wide receivers. And thankfully, he's the best receiver in the league, or at least the second best or third best receiver in the league. So he can overcome some of those concerns, but he does have legitimate concerns for how good the Vikings offense will be this year. He has legitimate concerns for how good his quarterback play is going to be this year. And he also has a couple options in his offense that can command targets, like TJ Hawkinson when he comes back, and Jordan Addison, assuming he's not suspended. So Justin Jefferson is a guy that I've been notoriously a little bit low on. It's kind of a stupid decision to be this low on such a great player, but I have reason for it. It's because these other wide receivers are so nails that it's easy for me to say that Justin Jefferson is my wide receiver 5 behind Amon-Ra St. Brown and Ja'Marr Chase, when those other guys simply just project a little bit better, even if they're not quite as good as a real life wide receiver as Justin Jefferson is. And then Garrett Wilson, I want to draw your attention to as well, who, very similar to CeeDee Lamb, has absolutely zero concern. If Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, or at least close to Aaron Rodgers, this Jets offense will be good. The offensive line should improve. Everything looks very good for Garrett Wilson because he is the clear number one of his offense. We know he's been talented enough to be a league-winning wide receiver. The only issue has been quarterback play for him. So Garrett Wilson, to me, if I had to answer the question right now, who's the next league-winning wide receiver that's not being drafted or hasn't finished as a league-winning wide receiver yet, my answer would be Garrett Wilson. But ADP would tell you that it's kind of expected that he's going to be one because he's going in underdog drafts in the first round. Marvin Harrison Jr. is the riskiest bet in this range because as a rookie, he doesn't have this like proven nails profile of producing in the NFL. But knowing the type of prospect he was, factoring in that he went to a good situation with a good quarterback and a offense that projects to be better this year and things of that nature, even though he has a bad offensive line and he has Trey McBride to compete for targets with, I think he's absolutely nails as well. So if you're taking anything away so far, it's that these top 9 wide receivers are very, very good options, and you should feel comfortable drafting any of them in the first round or in the early second round in some cases. So let's pivot out to the next group of wide receivers, because those ones were easy. If you guys are keeping track for strategy purposes, I really do love grabbing an anchor wide receiver this year because of how nails those first 9 guys are. Maybe you grab one or 2 of those guys. If you're picking nearly end of the first round, you can grab Garrett Wilson and Marvin Harrison, or Garrett Wilson and Puka Nacua potentially. So moving into the wide receivers 10 through wide receiver 18 in ADP on Underdog Fantasy right now. Round 2 is where we start to run into some concerns. Going one by one through these guys, you have Drake London, who has never done this before, right? He's never been an elite wide receiver in fantasy before, but he has been a very good wide receiver on a metric, advanced metric basis. Now he has a quarterback. Now he has pass volume. So that is a big time stock up bull case for Drake London. Hence why the Sharps are drafting him as high as they're drafting him early in the second round on Underdog Fantasy drafts. He is routinely available in the mid to late second round on home league ADPs. And again, when the Sharps are taking them higher than the home league casuals are, you should probably be paying attention to that. And that is why London's going higher. Nico Collins, of course, has tons of target competition. Did get a lot of his production last year when Tank Dell was injured, and of course Stephon Diggs coming in now, but Nico Collins proved that he was a top 5 wide receiver in yards per route run, a top 3 wide receiver in PFF receiving grade. This is a dude that achieved a very, very high level 94th percentile against man coverage and press coverage in reception perception. So he's a good enough wide receiver to do this. The question for him is target competition and how much volume can he earn. Chris Olave, pretty well documented, he's a good enough receiver to do this. He's just not in a very good offense. Derek Carr, New Orleans Saints scheme, if they were better, Chris Olave would be going a lot higher than this. Debo Samuel does not have the volume to get here because the 49ers don't pass enough and Debo Samuel doesn't have enough targets. However, his case can be made a little bit better by the fact that he does get a lot of rushing work, carries and red zone touches and things of that nature, but he doesn't really stack up well in an exercise like this where you're betting mainly on efficiency. Jaylen Waddle, kind of same thing. He is stuck behind Tyreek Hill in the pecking order, so he is not going to look really good in this exercise either, but it's an excellent offense, great offensive line, great quarterback, great yards per route run type of wide receiver. So Jaylen Waddle, definitely a guy that I am targeting. Devontae Adams checks all the boxes for like volume and the fact that he's the clear number one, but I am worried about the quarterback. I am worried about the situation. I'm worried about how good the offense will be. I'm worried about how the offensive line will hold up, and I'm also worried about the fact that Adams is older and has some concern for injury. Brandon Ayuk is just like Nico Collins. He is not going to get an elite volume share, but he is very efficient. If any injuries happen around him, obviously his volume could go up, but I just want pieces of that offense because I think it's the best in the league. Mike Evans, very similar, I would say, to kind of like Devontae Adams, where it's an older wide receiver. We know he's a clear alpha in the offense. He has a lot of touchdown upside, which Devontae Adams maybe doesn't have because of the quarterback play. So Mike Evans, definitely an interesting pick there, but he does have some concerns like Chris Godwin and the fact that he hasn't really been like 150 plus target wide receiver since like his second season. He's probably not going to get to that point again. In year 11 of his career, he's probably likely stuck at that 130 to 140 target range, and that caps his upside a little bit. Then you have Devontae Smith closing out this tier, where it's an offense that has A.J. Brown already, but it's a great offense, and we want pieces of it, and Devontae Smith is very good. It's just they have A.J. Brown already. So it appears that when you look at these guys holistically, London is the best ceiling swing. Chris Olave, Jalen Waddle, guys like that, Deebo Samuel, those guys are strong picks in principle, but they probably don't have super, super high ceilings to be league-winning type of guys. So if I had to say anybody from here is a league-winning caliber wide receiver, it would probably be Drake London, Nico Collins, maybe if you get some injuries happening around them, the 49ers receivers, or Jalen Waddle, or maybe that the Saints are just a lot better than I'm thinking they're going to be, and Chris Olave could get there, or maybe he's just that good that he can elevate the offense. But for the most part, you're looking at the early round Drake London, Nico Collins type of guys here. The only one I really have concerns for in this range is Devontae Adams. Like I said, given the offense, I don't really trust his ability to return a super, super high ceiling at this point in his career, because he also kind of fell off a little bit from a talent standpoint, but that could change. I mean, if Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew play at a high level, Devontae Adams, I'm sure, will be just fine. I'm just a little bit worried that the situation needs to be better than it currently is. So next up, we have wide receivers 19 through 27, Metcalf, Neighbors, Kupp, DJ Moore, Stephon Diggs, Michael Pittman Jr., Tank Dell, Zay Flowers, and George Pickens. So I'm not going to go through every individual case and rationale of why I rated them where. You guys can see them on the screen right now. You might notice a rather precipitous drop-off from the last tier of guys as well, because there's a lot more question marks here. Like with DK Metcalf, for example, we have a volume question mark. With Malik Neighbors, we have an offensive question mark. With Cooper Kupp, we have a is he old and washed question mark. DJ Moore, target competition. Stephon Diggs, target competition. Michael Pittman, volume and target competition / is he good enough. Tank Dell, we have target competition question marks and the fact that he's a young player. We have Zay Flowers and George Pickens, both in very run-heavy offenses where there's some target competition, especially with Zay Flowers there, and I don't know exactly what their path is to elite upside outside of them just maybe taking massive steps as players. Zay Flowers and George Pickens, in theory, have the upside to be league winners, but when you stack up their cases, you realize it's like, okay, how are they going to be a league winner if the Ravens throw 500 times or if the Steelers throw 495 times this year? It's going to be very difficult for either of those guys to command 150 plus targets in that shallow of a passing offense. So again, I'm okay drafting high floor wide receivers, and I would say a lot of these guys are, specifically like DJ Moore, Michael Pittman, DK Metcalf, guys like that. I feel confident that they're going to be like wide receiver twos in fantasy or better, but it would be really challenging for me to get these guys all the way up to league winner status. I think the one guy that has probable league winner upside is Cooper Kupp, because if he's just outright better than Puka Nacua, he could be the number one receiver in his offense still. Of course, we've seen him be a league winner in the past in 2021 and when he was healthy in 2022, but he is a little bit older. I'm not sure he absolutely has that still left in the tank. And then maybe if you think that DJ Moore, DK Metcalf, or Malik Neighbors have league winning upside, they probably do. They would just have to have a lot break right for them. I think it would take some injuries for DJ Moore to do it, and probably DK Metcalf to do it as well. Maybe they just elevate the offense. Like if Caleb Williams comes out and he's just a monster quarterback, maybe DJ Moore could be a league winner. If Geno Smith and this Ryan Grubb offensive scheme really push the ball downfield, we could see an outlier touchdown season from DK Metcalf. If Malik Neighbors is just truly as good as Malik Neighbors can be, then he could just propel that Giants offense to be better than I'm thinking. But again, I'm okay drafting high floor wide receivers in this range of the draft, because we're talking round 5, round 4, maybe round 6 if you're lucky with some of these guys. And in a 2 wide receiver, 2 flex, or hell, a 3 wide receiver, 1 flex, you're going to need guys like George Pickens on your team in the round 5, round 6 range if he's there. You're going to need guys like DJ Moore on your team. You got your ceiling early in the draft. You're going to take upside swings later in the draft. You just need somebody to fill out your wide receiver 3 spot or your wide receiver 2 spot or your flex spot or whatever position they're encompassing there. So wide receivers 28 through 36 in underdog fantasy ADP. We're going to go through these again. I'm not going to go through every individual case, but Amari Cooper, T. Higgins, Christian Kirk, Terry McLaurin, Hollywood Brown, Keenan Allen, Jaden Reed, Calvin Ridley, who might have gotten a nice little upgrade today as I'm recording this, and Chris Godwin as well. So we're approaching that rounds 5 to 7, rounds maybe even later than that in your home leagues. In leagues I play in, you want to hit on solid producers in this range, right? Mike Evans, DJ Moore, Brandon Ayuk, and Michael Pittman were going in this range last year, right? And obviously, some of those guys really overperformed. They were wide receiver ones in fantasy. But even a guy like Michael Pittman wasn't a wide receiver one, just a very solid producer for you who you drafted round 6, round 7. Amari, T. Higgins, Jaden Reed and Christian Kirk look like the best bets to me as guys that can be solid producers. Do I think Amari Cooper has wide receiver 5 upside? Probably not. I don't think he has that type of upside unless Watson were to come out and look like Houston Texans Watson. T. Higgins, with Jamar Chase there, he doesn't have top 5 upside. He probably has high-end wide receiver 2 upside, though. Same goes for Jaden Reed. Same goes for Christian Kirk. I think these guys are decent bets in this range of the draft. Again, Calvin Ridley, maybe now that DeAndre Hopkins is going to be on the mend for a couple weeks, you could upgrade him, but I'm a little bit pessimistic about his ability at this point in time. And then again, there's some guys that I'm just outright avoiding here. Like, I don't really love Hollywood Brown at his price tag. I don't really love Terry McLaurin at his price tag. Chris Godwin's okay, but again, only in full PPR leagues would I even be interested in him. And I also, he hasn't looked like the same player for a couple of years as a Bucs fan. It, you know, hurts me obviously, but I can't really admit that he's a better player than he is at this point in time. And then Keenan Allen obviously was great last year, but he goes to a new situation with a lot more target competition. I definitely want to do a study, I think, on wide receiver like 25 to 40 in ADP, this range that we're in right now, because when you look at the big hits, like I said, Ayuk and Pittman and those guys from last year, and the big misses, I wonder if there's kind of like a roadmap I can create based on that, because specifically in leagues that I play in where there's a lot of wide receivers and you want wide receivers, it would be good to know the like profiles that are good here. Is it good to bet on upside swings? Is it good to bet on safe projections? Is it good to bet on great offenses? Like, it would be good to know exactly for sharp league formats like Underdog Fantasy, which wide receivers 25 through 40 you actually want to target, because all of these guys really feel like you could throw them in a hat and just kind of pick your poison on each guy. And that's kind of something we're trying to, you know, break through. We're trying to actually pick which guys we actually like here. So let's move into wide receiver 37 through 45. And again, there's a lot of question marks about these guys, specifically from like a volume standpoint. I think I was rather generous giving these guys question marks on their volume. Like, do I think Xavier Worthy's going to have 11 targets per game or 10 targets per game? Most likely no. Romo Odunze, most likely no. But they're rookies, so you never know. What if they come out and they're just the next Justin Jefferson? That's the case with rookies that you got to make. And again, it appears we do have some ceilings here. If you look at some of these cases, it actually looks like we have a decent amount of ceiling here, probably more so even than the last group of wide receivers. But of course, the risks are a little bit higher here because you're dealing with a lot of rookies like Romo Odunze, like Xavier Worthy, like Ladd McConkey, like Keon Coleman. And of course, you have a guy like Rashee Rice, who's expected to be suspended, at least at this current point in time. I also really like the outlooks of Deontay Johnson, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and Christian Watson here. But yeah, I look at this group of wide receivers and I think there's a lot of meat left on the bone here, especially like, I mean, Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy are in such a great offense that whoever ends up being the number one there is going to return a lot of value. Romo Odunze was just a really great prospect, and the Bears could be a lot better than people think. DeAndre Hopkins is on the mend right now. I'm not really worried about him. I'm kind of probably taking him off my board entirely, because when you're expected to be out 4 to 6 weeks at this point in the season and you're like 32 years old, there's a good chance that those injuries are going to hamper you throughout the rest of the year. So I'm probably not touching DeAndre Hopkins anymore in drafts. Christian Watson, again, he could become the number one for Jordan Love. That's a lot of upside there. Deontay Johnson has a target commanding profile, a guy who's a proven separator in an offense that desperately needed targets last year. If Deontay Johnson performs like Adam Thielen did last year, he's going to win people leagues. Like, I don't know if it's necessarily going to happen, but I'm just saying if he does that, he's going to end up being awesome. Ladd McConkey, I think, is my favorite of all of these guys because he has a great blend of ability, upside, and he has a great quarterback who's also kind of dealing with some injuries right now in camp as we speak. But Ladd McConkey has a chance to be the number one for Justin Herbert, and that is a very intriguing profile. Same goes for Keon Coleman, potentially could be the number one for Josh Allen. And then again, Jaxon Smith-Njigba in this new look Ryan Grubb offense. Who knows? What if he leads the Seattle Seahawks in targets this year? So again, a lot of intriguing profiles at the wide receiver position this year. It's pick your poison. I talked about this last year in the risk ratings video, where when you're drafting a team and it goes by position, it goes by your overall roster. If you're taking risky wide receiver to be your number two receiver, you probably want to take a safer wide receiver 3, and vice versa. You don't want to draft all risky wide receivers and all safe wide receivers. You want a healthy mix of risk balance, risk tolerance in your portfolio here. So as you can see, this is how all of the wide receivers scored. I gave them points for anything that they rated green in, anything they rated yellow in, orange, or red, and this is how they all graded out, and it kind of outlines what my draft strategy will be this year. And I do this for the quarterback and the running back position already. I outlined my strategies at those positions already in the previous videos, and I'll link those down below. Tight ends will be coming in a couple of days, and then of course that all culminates into my number one draft strategy video that I did last year, which had like almost 400,000 views, so really appreciate the support on that video. That'll be coming out, I don't know, about a week from today. If I had to guess who are the next league-winning wide receivers, getting down to brass tacks of this video, I believe the underdog fantasy market is extremely, extremely sharp at this position. So do I think there's a lot of league-winning profiles coming out of the mid-rounds, the round 5, round 6, round 7 range? No, because I think if we expected these guys to be league winners, they would be going high in underdog fantasy drafts. If they had 20-plus point-per-game upside, they would be going in the second round, and pretty much everybody who has that kind of upside is. Garrett Wilson, Marvin Harrison Jr., Drake London, Nico Collins, Chris Olave, Brandon Ayuk, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, Mike Evans, anybody that has a legit ceiling, even Cooper Kupp, is going as a top 21, top 22 wide receiver in overall ADP. So I don't think we're going to see wide receiver 36 in ADP comes out and has a 20-plus point per game season. I don't think it's going to happen. But I do think we could get some Brandon Ayuks from last year, some Mike Evanses from last year, from some Michael Pittmans from last year, where we get solid back-end wide receiver 1, high-end wide receiver 2 production out of some of these mid-round guys. I feel like that pocket from Amari Cooper to Keon Coleman is a good pocket to take swings on high-upside rookies like the guys I mentioned, Xavier Worthy, Romo Dunze, Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, but also guys that it just project to be in really good offenses like a Jaden Reed or a Christian Watson or a Rashee Rice or somebody like that. Taking swings on players like that is definitely a smart idea in my opinion. In terms of my overall strategy at this position, I want to lock down at least one, if not two, early top 3 round wide receivers, because I think these guys are where all the ceiling lie. In the first 2 rounds, I think it's crucial that you leave with one wide receiver and potentially 2 in the first 3 rounds. Because, for example, I pick from the 3 spot in my home league. I would love to start my draft with like Tyreek Hill at number 3, swing back around, grab another wide receiver like Nico Collins, like Drake London, like Brandon Ayuk, like Deebo Samuel, somebody like that in the late 2nd round. And then at the top of the 3rd round, I get to pick my running back hero like Achan, like Pacheco, like Etienne, like Kyren Williams, whatever running back you like at that point in time. I get my 2 high ceiling projection wide receivers, and I get my hero running back to build out and set the foundation for the rest of my fantasy team. I can fill out the depth wide receivers in the middle rounds with some of those good targets that project pretty well, like Devontae Smith, Cooper Kupp, DJ Moore, Amari Cooper, T. Higgins, throwing darts round 6 to 9 on Rashee Rice, Christian Watson, Xavier Worthy, Romo Dunze, Jordan Addison, all the types of dudes that are going in that range. So that is basically what's going to encompass my wide receiver strategy this year. Ideally, if you start 4 wide receivers in your league, meaning it's a 2 wide receiver, 2 flex league, you should have 4 wide receivers by round 6, round 7 at the latest, deviating for like maybe 1 or 2 elite running backs, maybe an elite onesie quarterback or tight end. You want to be strong at wide receiver this year, specifically in those first 3 rounds. You probably want to have 1 or 2 of them because the high-end projections are all the way at the top of the board. And again, swing on darts up till round 10, and then the wide receiver position really will taper off for a while, and you're better off swinging on running backs, quarterbacks, and tight ends. And then maybe later on in the draft, take a Jalen Polk and Xavier Leggett, swing on rookies and things of that nature. But for the most part, you want to lock down 4 or 5 wide receivers through the first 6, 7, 8 rounds of your draft, depending how many wide receivers you can start. If you're only in a 2 wide receiver, 1 flex league, it's not as important to be as strong at wide receiver, but still, they represent very, very good upside swings for you. So if you enjoyed this video, if you got some value from it, go ahead down below, leave a like, lets you know and lets YouTube know that you like the content. Also comment down below, who do you think is the next league winning wide receiver? Like I said, my probable guess is that it's going to be Garrett Wilson. But if I had to dig a little bit deeper, I think that Malik Nabers could do it, even though this exercise didn't really like him for this. Cooper Kupp kind of stands out as somebody that could do it. I do think that we could get a really, really good wide receiver from that rookie tier, whether it's Worthy, Odunze, McConkey, one of those guys. And I also really like Rashee Rice to return a lot of value there. So if you want our draft guide, has all of our rankings in it, has a ton of studies like this one. It has our risk ratings, which I talked about and kind of made reference to. It has all the fantasy news updates by team organized. You can see how many times Ladd McConkey has been mentioned in training camp. You can see how many times the Broncos backfield has been discussed. All of that is available in our draft guide. And to get our draft guide for free, you can go down below, link down below in the pinned comment. Use the promo code FSE when you sign up on Underdog Fantasy. You can take some of this advice right into action. Start drafting fantasy teams to get ready for your home league. And when you sign up with just $10 or any other deposit that you put in, you'll get our draft guide totally for free. When you use the promo code FSE, it'll be sent to your email inbox. Within 24 hours, you'll get our redraft guide. And as a free gift, you'll get our Dynasty draft guide and our Dynasty rookie all 22 film breakdowns from back in the Dynasty cycle in April and May. So if that interests you, link down below in the pinned comment. If you already have an Underdog account, you can get all of everything that I just said on flockfantasy.com and use the promo code FSE over there for 30% off and 7 days for free. So with that being said, peace out, and we'll talk to you soon.